Today we begin lesson 4 in the book of Megillas Esther. We're beginning chapter 2, Perek Beis. We'll be learning Psukim Aleph Teches 1 to 8. We're two-thirds of the way down on page 1262 in the Simonim Tanakh. Achar ha-devarim ho'ela, achar, after, ho'ela, these dvarim things, these things that occurred, kishoich, when it subsided or subdued, chamas, the wrath of ha-melech Achashverosh, the king Achashverosh, zochar as Vashti, he remembered Vashti, he remembered her with affection and remorse and everything that happened, va'ace and asher asasa, which she did, the ace and asher, which nigzar, was decreed aleha upon her. And upon sober reflection, King Achashverosh realized that it was what he did to her was unjust. Obviously, Hashem wanted it to happen measure for measure for her being instrumental in stopping the rebuilding of the temple. So therefore, Hashem had her punished. But he's feeling bad and he's depressed. So Pasuk Beis, Vayomru Na'are HaMelech, and the Na'are, the young men of the king, said, but who were they? Misharsav, his servants. In other words, the pages. So the pages of the king said to him and offered the following advice. Yevakshu, they should be sought out. LaMelech, for the king. Na'aros Bisulos Tavos Mareh. Na'aros, young maidens, besulos, virgins, tovos, mareh, who are beautiful. Seek them out. And how will you find them? Pasuk Gimel, v'yafked hamelech, and the king will appoint pikidim, appointees, or commissioners, bechol, in all of Medinos, the provinces of Malchus, of his kingdom. In other words, instead of appointing people from Shushan, to appoint, rather, local commissioners in each one of the 127 provinces who would know better what to do in terms of finding out the young, beautiful women. V'yikpitzu, and they will gather, es kol na'ara besula tovas hamara, call all na'ara, young maiden, every young maiden, besula, who's a virgin, tovas mara, who's beautiful, and collect them up where? El to Shushan Abira, and bring them to Shushan Abira, Shushan the capital, specifically where? El to the Beis Hanashim, literally means the house of women, meaning the king's harem, al yad under the charge of a person by the name of Hege, Cerise, who is a chamberlain of Hamelech, the king. And his job specifically was to be a shomer, a custodian of Hanashim, the women. And as the custodian, his job would be Vinason, and be given Tamrukeim, their cosmetics. So he would take charge of this harem and make sure that they all are to look as beautiful as possible. And the question is asked, why did Hashem subject all these women of Persia to such humiliation, especially just at the end of the day, to favor Esther? And the answer is because the Persian women, they poured much contempt upon all the Jewish women throughout the years, calling them ugly, and no one should even want to look at them. So now Hashem is punishing them measure for measure, that they are mistreated and only at the end are discarded in favor of the Jewish woman Esther. The pages continue with their advice in Pasuk Dalet. V'hana'ara, and the maiden, asher titav, that will please, that will be pleasing, be'enei, in the eyes of Hamelech, of the king, timloch, she will rule, tachas Vashti, in the place of Vashti, vayitav hadavar, and this advice was good, be'enei Hamelech, in the eyes of the king, vaya'as, and he did kain so. And how did he do it? He did not make any proclamation, rather, he discreetly sent out the commissioners to secretly compile a list of the beautiful women. And then, when the women were off guard, then they would dispatch officers to round up the women so they'd have no chance to stop them, because they didn't know what was going on, because if it was announced that the king would be taking the pretty women, then people knew in advance they could run away and protect themselves. Pasuk Hey. Now we interrupt the advice to introduce now the hero of the story. And Pasuk Hey in Shul, all the people in Shul will read this Pasuk out loud. This is one of the four Psukim that is read out loud before the Chazan reads the Megillah. And it's read loudly with great fanfare. And these are the words in Pasuk Hey. Ish, there was a man, Yehudi, a Jewish man. Haya, there was. In Shushan Habira, the capital of Shushan. Now, why was he called a Yehudi? Well, one answer is that all the Jews who were exiled at the end, when the temple was destroyed, and they were exiled with the king of Yehuda, so they were all called Yehudim. Also, we know that Yehuda, the original Yehuda, comes from the word praise, that Leah praised Hashem for her lot. And therefore, all Jews are called Yehudim because our job is to always praise Hashem. So there was an Ish Yehudi in Shushan HaBira. And who was that person? Ushmo, and his name was Mordechai. Why does the Torah tell us he was in Shushan HaBira? Well, that connects to what we said in the last chapter, that the king who came, the whole story of Purim that happened, was in Shushan HaBira. And we'll see how Hashem divinely orchestrated that Mordechai would be in Shushan HaBira to be able to save the Jews. More than that, we are told that he was a Jew. Some people are a Jew in their home, but not out in the street. So he was a Yehudi. Even b'Shushan HaBira, in front of everyone else, he acted like a Jew, especially as he did not go to the party. And his name was Mordechai. Now we see who his descendants were. Ben Yair, the son of Yair. Ben Shimi, the son of Shimi. Ben Kish, the son of Kish. Now this is not the direct descendancy of Mordechai. These were descendants of Mordechai. And why the Navi lists these three, the Gemara gets into detail, which we will not go into, what qualities and what Mordechai was able to achieve with the Jewish people that's hinted to with these names. But these were his descendants. Ish, a man yamini, literally means a man from the right side, which is a reference to being from Shevet Binyamin. He was from the tribe of Binyamin. And what was the idea of him and the ultimate salvation of the Jews coming from the tribe of Binyamin? We know that Binyamin was not involved in the sale of Joseph, so he was not involved in any ununiting activities. Number two, Binyamin was the only one who did not bow down to Esav. And we'll see that Mordechai does not bow down to Haman. And he also is a descendant of Shaul HaMelech, who's from the tribe of Binyamin. And therefore, Shaul, who did not destroy Amalek, Mordechai will rectify that by bringing down the downfall of Haman, who's a descendant from Amalek. Mordechai was also a member of the Sanhedrin. And now in Pasuk Vav, the Navi tells us exactly when he arrived in Shushan. Asher Hagla, and this Pasuk is said with the tune of Eicha, because it's a sad tune. Asher Hagla Mirushalayim, Im Hagoyla, Asher Haglasa, Im Yechaniya, Melech Yehuda. Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, which means Asher Hagla, which he was exiled Mirushalayim from Yerushalayim, im with Hagola, the exiles, Asher Haglasa, which were exiled, im with Yechonia, that's a name, Melech, the king of Yehuda. That happened 11 years before the destruction of the temple. The temple was destroyed in the year of creation, 3,338. 11 years before that, in the year 3,327, they were exiled by who? Asher Hegla, which exiled Nebuchadnezzar, which Nebuchadnezzar exiled them, and he was the Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel. And why did Hashem do that? That only part that the king was exiled. But the cold destruction didn't happen until 11 years later, because Hashem wanted righteous people to come to Babylonia before the destruction of the temple. And therefore, just like when the Jews went down to Egypt, Yaakov sent Yehuda down first to establish Torah learning centers, so too Hashem had the great Jews leave 11 years before the temple was destroyed, specifically Mordechai, who could set up Torah centers for the Jews in the exile. This is many years ago, at least 70 years since the destruction of the temple. This will make Mordechai an extremely older person as the story is happening now. So what else are we told about Mordechai in Pasuk Zayin? Vayehi Omein, and he raised Omein, to raise someone. Who did he raise? And raising like a mother with constant supervision. As he raised Hadassah, that's her name. She is Esther. She is Esther. There is debate amongst the rabbis what her real name was. Was it really Hadassah and she was called Esther? Was it really Esther? Was she called Hadassah? But each name has a relevance. Hadassah comes from the word hadas, which means a myrtle. We know a myrtle has a sweet smell but a bitter taste, hinting to the fact that she was sweet to Mordechai but bitter to Haman. Also, the word Esther comes from the word haster, to conceal, as during Esther's lifetime, Hashem's supervision over the Jews was concealed. And that's why the Megillah is called Megillas Esther, the scroll of concealment. Further than that, Megillah, also from the word gale, to reveal, and the whole trick of this whole Megillah is to reveal the concealment of Hashem in this Megillah, as you see that Hashem's name is not mentioned once in the Megillah. So he raised up Esther, notwithstanding that he was on the Sanhedrin and was very busy and could have delegated this role to someone else. He did all the effort involved in raising her. What was her relation to him? Bas, she was the daughter of Dodo, his uncle. His uncle's daughter, that made her a cousin to him. Why did he have to raise her? Ki, because ain law, she did not have of a father, va'aim, and a mother. Her father died when her mother was pregnant, and her mother died when delivering her. Now, what about her looks? Vahanara, and the young woman was Yefas Toar, was finely featured, Vitovas Mara, and beautiful to look at. Uvamos Aviyah Ve'ima, and when her father and mother died, Lekacha Mordechai, Mordechai took her lo to himself, Levas, for a daughter. The rabbis teach us that we should understand it not just as Levas, but Lebais, for her home, meaning to say he ultimately married her, and as one is permitted to marry one's cousin. So now we have the background of Mordechai and Esther, Pasuches, Vayehi, and when it was, Behishama, literally means heard, but when it was published or publicized, the Devar HaMelech, the bidding of the king, Vidaso, and his decree, but it was very late in the game because people were collected up right away. Uvehiba Ketzna Ros Rabos, and when many, Rabos, many young women were collected up, many against their will, El, and brought to Shushan Habira, the capital of Shushan, El Yad, under the charge of Hegoi. But you see, his name really is Hegei. That's the way his name was mentioned earlier in Pasuk Gimel, but when you come to the end of a Pasuk, the Hegei changes to Hegoi. And as well, Vatilokach Esther, and Esther was taken against her will, El Beis HaMelech, to the house of the king, El Yad Hegai. Oh, so now we have word Hegai, Shomer Hanoshim, the one who was guarding over the women. And now we end today's lesson with Esther not understanding why such a terrible thing would happen, that she is put into the palace. And we will see tomorrow what happens subsequent to this. Let's take a look at the questions. Number one, what did the king remember after his wrath subsided? He remembered Vashti. He remembered everything that happened. Number two, in retrospect, did the king think the decree against Vashti was just? No. Three, what advice did the pages give the king? That he should send out people to look around to find throughout all the provinces that he was the ruler of a beautiful young maiden who he would replace as the queen. Four, who did the king appoint in order to accomplish what the pages advise and why? He would appoint 127 local commissioners over every province because they would know who the beautiful women were. 5. Why did the young Persian maidens deserve such humiliating treatment? Measure for measure, because they humiliated Jewish women by saying how ugly they were and how no one wanted to look at them, and now Hashem would humiliate them and have Esther, the Jew, become the queen. 6. Based on the advice of the pages, who would be the new queen? The king, that the one that pleased the king the most from all these women that they would collect, she would be the new king. 7. Did the king accept the advice of the pages? Yes. 8. What was the two-step process implemented based on the advice of the pages and why? Number 1, to inform the commissioners locally and to take lists of who the pretty women were, to be done discreetly, and then to hire officers to round up the women against their will. 9. Which verse in today's lesson does the entire congregation say out loud in shul and why? It's Pasuk Hey, the Pasuk of Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan HaBira. We read this Pasuk out loud because, and other Pesukim as well, because it is to Parsumei Nisa, to publicize the miracle, and these Pesukim express the essence of the miracles that happened through Mordechai. 10. Defined a Yehudi. A Yehudi is a Jew, but he's called a Yehudi because, number one, we are descendants of from the tribe of Yehuda. These were the ones who were exiled with Yehuda. We are descendants, and all Jews are named after Yehuda because his name means to praise Hashem, and that's what a Jew is all about, of praising Hashem. 11. Who were three of Mordechai's descendants? Three of them were Yair, Shimi, and Kish. If you want to take it further, you have Shaul. If you want to take it further, it is even Binyamin. 12. What tribe did Mordechai come from? What is the significance of that? He came from the tribe of Binyamin. The significance is Binyamin never was involved in bowing down to Esav. He was not involved in the sale of Yosef. He also, from Binyamin, Shaul was a descendant from Binyamin who did not eradicate Amalek. And Mordechai has a chance to correct that error. 13. Why does the Pasuk mention where Mordechai lived? Number 1, to tell us that Hashem divinely orchestrated that he should be living in the place where the Purim story would happen. And number 2, that Mordechai lived as a Jew, not only in his home, but also outside in front of others, and especially in Shushan, where he did not attend the party. 14. When did Mordechai arrive in Shushan and why? He arrived in Shushan in the year, he arrived prior to the Purim story over here. He arrived in Shushan when Nebuchadnezzar exiled King Yechoniah, and he was exiled with him at that time, and that's when he came. 15. With which king did Mordechai go into exile? With King Yechoniah. Who exiled them in what year of creation? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, exiled them in the year 3327, 11 years before the destruction of the temple. 17. What relationship did Mordechai have with Esther? She was the daughter of his uncle. They were cousins. 18. What was Esther's real name? It's a debate. Was it Esther or was it Hadassah? One was the main name, one was the second name that was given, as it were. What do both their names mean? Hadassah comes from the word hadas, which is a myrtle, which is pleasant to smell, but bitter to taste, to show she was pleasant and sweet to Mordechai, but bitter to Haman. Esther comes from the word concealment, where Hashem's supervision was being concealed in the times of Esther. 20. How does the Pasuk describe Esther's looks? She was yefas toar, finely featured, and tovas mara, and beautiful to look at. 21. What kindness did Mordechai do for Esther when she was born, and why? He raised her like his child, because both her mother and father were not alive when she was born. 22. Who was Esther married to? According to the rabbis, she married Mordechai. 23. What happened to Esther in today's lesson? She is taken against her will by the commissioners to be taken into the palace of Ahasuerus. 24. Who was the guardian over the young maidens? It was Hegai, or Hegai, or Hege. It's pronounced two different ways. 25. What was the guardian's job? His job was to be in charge over the women and to provide them with cosmetics. Please spend some time reviewing today's lesson and lessons 1, 2, and 3. Have a great day.